Today our sermon is titled Led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. And today we're going to take a closer look at John the Baptist and how the Spirit really used him in a great way. But before we get into the scriptures, the question we got to ask ourselves is, what is our personal view of the Holy Spirit? What is our view of the Holy Spirit? And did we come to our view through the scriptures or through what everybody else thinks about the Holy Spirit? It's an important question to ask. How has our view of the Spirit been formed and shaped over the years? Because, you know, it's really interesting when you have something in your mind already, it's very hard for you to see when or to accept when things change. It's like this morning, I had in my mind there was going to be a snowstorm. And what put that in my mind is the news. There's going to be this incredible snowstorm. And we're going to have 40 inches of snow. And it's going to be all terrible. And my opinion about what Sunday was going to look like began to take shape. I began to see the school being closed. I began to see myself in the morning just cuddling up with my lovely, beautiful wife in the morning, having a family communion together, having a quiet time and just kind of, as the snow's falling, just thinking about Jesus. And I had in my mind having a nice bowl of hot soup that my beautiful wife would make. And then getting myself just positioned correctly on the couch, lining up that football game, just getting myself in the right position. And then I saw rain outside. And then myself and Reggie and Denton were talking. Maybe I should drive over here in the morning and just see if the school was open. And I dragged myself out of bed, got myself dressed, and on the way over, I'm really thinking, I really hope the school is closed. I can go back to the original vision I had about what my Sunday was going to look like. So I parked outside and I came on up here up the pavement and I said, it's looking closed. I saw some lights on and I'm like, well, maybe they leave the lights on for security reasons. And I came to the door and I said, the test is always the door. Is the door locked? And I put my hand on that door and I said, I just hope. And as I tugged on the door, it opened. And I saw the custodian and I saw the security guard, and they say, We never close the school. But we're always here. I'm like, that's good information. And I had to get my mind and my heart around the fact that now I've got to send a text message out to all the Bible Talk leaders and tell them we're having church. And some of the Bible Talk leaders might feel like I felt. But I sent it out anyway, and I prayed, and I said, God, give me the right spirit. You see, I had a view, an idea about what this Sunday morning would look like. And it changed. And I had to accept the fact that my flesh wanted one way, But the Spirit had something else in mind. So if you look at Luke chapter 1, John the Baptist came, and prior to his birth, there was an announcement by the angel. And it says in Luke 1 verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here the angel is telling Zechariah, I'm going to tell you about this child that your wife is going to give birth to. And there's going to be some very unique things about this child. And he says that the child will be filled with the Spirit even before he is born. While John the Baptist was in his embryonic stage, he had the Spirit. A lot of us don't think that that God can do that. But God did it. And when we look at this text, we got to ask, well, how did the Spirit plan on using John the Baptist? The angel makes it very clear in verses 16 and 17. He says that he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. Well, what does he mean, bring back the people? What he's saying is that the people of Israel have gone astray. That they have distanced themselves from their God. And that the Spirit was sending a man to help them to see where they stood in relation with their God. That with all the spiritual wisdom in Israel, and with all their knowledge, and with all their insight into the Holy Scriptures, that they were not aware of where they stood in their relationship with God. In Luke chapter 1 verse 76, after John was born, Zechariah, his dad, gave this prophecy about his son. He says in verse 76, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And so, upon the birth of John the Baptist, while he was still an infant, he had not yet spoken a word, his father Zechariah said that John was to give people knowledge of salvation. Well, why did the Spirit send John to do that? Because they did not know how to be saved. And the Spirit sent John to give the people of Israel knowledge of salvation. You know, you can't be saved if you don't know how. The other thing he said was that John would show the people a path to peace. And what is that peace he's speaking about? He's speaking about peace with their God. But in order to be led to a path of peace, they need to be brought to an awareness that there is a war going on. That there is a conflict going on. And that they must get out of that conflict and make peace with their God. You see, the Spirit wanted to show people how to be at peace with God. And what is implied is that they were at war with God, but they were not aware of it. In Luke chapter 3, we see the beginning of John's ministry. It says in verse 1, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Ananias, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And what Luke is saying is that at the time when John began his ministry, there were agents of political authority, and he names them. There was Pontius Pilate, Herod, Philip, Licinius. There was even religious authority in the form of the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. But Luke says the word of God didn't come through politicians. And the word of God didn't come through the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. It said the word of God came to John, who was in the wilderness. And it was in that wilderness where John began to fulfill the mission of the Spirit. And he began, it says in verse 3, he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And he says John's ministry was the grand fulfillment of a prophecy that Isaiah made. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, and every mountain and hill be made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones, God will raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire." "What good shall we do then?" the crowd asked. John answered, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same." Even the tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, "what should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to." "Amen," he told them. And some soldiers asked him, "What should we do?" He replied, "Don't extort money
And don't accuse people falsely. And be content with your pay. Can we get an amen from all the workers here? The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. And John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, he exhorted the people and proclaimed the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this up to them all. He locked John up in prison. And so when we read these verses, Luke's account of the ministry of John the Baptist, a man who had the Spirit before he was even born. What is the Spirit doing through John? Well, first of all, it says that John preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He told people that they are in sin and that they need to repent. He brought to his listeners an awareness of sin. This was no feel-good sermon. This was a message of change and challenge. He challenged all who came to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. He's like, listen, don't just rely on your ancestral DNA connection to Abraham. See, what they were saying is who are you to challenge us? Don't you know I can trace my human descendancy to Abraham? Don't you see the DNA molecules in my blood? They're all connected. John said, don't rely on that nonsense. If you don't produce fruit, if you don't live like Abraham, judgment will come upon you. He also warned the people of judgment. He said the axe is at the root of the tree. What's he talking about? He's talking about the tree of Israel. He's saying God is just about ready to chop that tree down. And if you don't make the right choices, you're going to fall with it. And he was not only saying that God was ready to chop the nation of Israel down, but he was saying God is ready to chop your life down if you don't produce fruit in keeping with repentance. What else do we see John doing? He is instructing the people about how to live Spirit-filled lives. You can see in the passage, you know, he's talking to people about personal choices. Those who have two shirts should share with the one who has none. He's telling the tax collectors, look, just live a righteous life. Don't be robbing people. He's telling the soldiers, don't extort money or give false accusations. Because if you want to live by the Holy Spirit, there will be radical changes in your personal life. It's not just about coming to temple and looking like you're saved. It's making individual choices in your private lives that will show that you are different. That will show that you're not being led by your feelings and emotions and what is pleasurable to you, but you are doing what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. That you're living in a right relationship with people who are around you. So John is preaching a baptism of repentance and forgiveness of sins. He is challenging those who come to him to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And he is warning the people of impending judgment. And he is instructing individuals on how to live Spirit-filled lives. This is how the Holy Spirit used John. His ministry originated from the Holy Spirit, and he spoke through the Holy Spirit to people in need of the Spirit. And the question we got to ask ourselves is this: is this what the Spirit is doing in churches today? Now, I don't know your personal experience, but I know that there are over 450 plus denominations here in the United States. You walk up and down Northern Boulevard, there's church buildings everywhere. On my drive from Long Island, I passed quite a number of church buildings just to get to Flushing High School. I don't know what your personal history is, but in the church that you may be most familiar with, is this what's going on? In the church that you grew up in, is this what the Spirit is doing? You see, we've got to now ask ourselves, remember we talked earlier about we have a mindset about certain things? When you have a certain mindset about what things ought to look like, and then when you look and see from the scriptures, wait a second, things are different. Then you got to ask yourself, have I formed a correct view of the Spirit? Is my view of the Spirit based on biblical truth? Or is it just people-driven? People-centered. I'll be the first to tell you, I grew up going to church. And when I look at what John the Baptist was doing in Israel, preaching a baptism of repentance for forgiveness, challenging all who came to him to produce fruit in keeping with repentance, warning people of impending judgment, and instructing people how to live Spirit-filled lives, I can say this with extreme confidence, that in the years I went to church, I never heard anything like this. So is the Spirit, or I should say, was the Spirit at work in the church that I grew up in? If I'm looking at what I see the Spirit doing in the life of John, I can say absolutely not. Whoa, that's a major judgment, Sean. Well, it's a judgment based on knowledge of truth. So if I see the Spirit working in John's life in this way, and I don't see that happening in the church that I grew up in, then my view of what the Spirit is doing should change. We have access these days to YouTube versions of church. You don't have to come here this morning. You could just
Go on YouTube and click church. And there'll be something up there. There are podcasts out there. There's all sorts of videos and Facebook stuff. And then you could turn, if all else fails, you could turn on the radio and you can get your dose of church. But the question you have to ask is that being spirit-led? When you turn on these radio programs or go on these YouTubes, do you hear preaching, repentance, and forgiveness of sins? Is that what you hear? Do you hear produce fruit in keeping with repentance? Is that what you hear on the radio and on the internet and on Facebook? Is that what you hear? Do you hear a warning of impending judgment? Is that what you hear? And do you hear instructions about how you should live your life personally? Is that what you hear? I'm just asking. Because even while I was going to church, I was in all sorts of sexual sin. Nobody ever came to me and said, "Sean, what's your private life looking like?" Nobody. They were just happy I was there, warming the seat. Nice, dressed up, big smile. I'm a church member. I might still even be on the membership of that church, even though I haven't been for 30 years. Hello. I'm just saying, this is what I see the Spirit doing in the ministry of John the Baptist. And I think even though we may not be Israelites, we may, some of you may have some DNA trace. I don't know. But what I see is the Spirit is trying to address the deepest needs of mankind. That's what I see the Spirit doing. And even though we're generations away from the people who John the Baptist preached to, I think we have similar needs. We have similar needs. I think we need to be aware of our sin. And it's one of the tragic failures of the modern day church that they do not educate people about sin. It's a tragedy. People go to these churches and it's all hype. And woo, 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 woo. And they have great worship teams and everyone's feeling all great. But people leave there more ignorant about their sinful life. And it's a complete deception. True spirit-led church is where there's an awareness that's taught about sin and about repentance. True spirit-filled church is about the fact that there is a judgment coming. Yes, there is. And we've got to ask ourselves, do you want to be led by the Spirit? I mean, you know, yeah, that's our theme and everything. And I'm very excited about our theme. But the Spirit is not going to... The Spirit is not a slave driver, okay? The Spirit's not going to come and knock you over the head and chain you and say, "Hey, you're going to do what I..." That's not what the Spirit's going to do. The Spirit wants to lead us to great places. But do you want to be led to the place where the Spirit wants to lead you? That's the question. What do you want? Look, I know what I'm going to be teaching. And I think it should be no secret by now. I mean, we've been here 6 years, had a wonderful time, but there's just one message that we're preaching here, and that's from the Scriptures. That's what changed my life. That's what I see changing other people's lives. And we're going to keep on preaching that. we're going to try to bring awareness to sin. That's what we're going to try to do this year. How sin affects your marriage. How sin affects your relationship with each other. And how sin affects your relationship with God. We're going to, our goal here is to bring awareness so that you leave here more educated about what sin is and more empowered about how you can change that. What we're about is providing opportunities to change. Because I know even while I'm preaching here, there are people who are sitting down and going, man, this is what I want. I want the truth. I want righteousness. We want to provide opportunities for you to change. That's why we study the Bible with people. That's why we want to sit down and talk to you as an individual. Because this stuff, what I'm doing right here, there's a benefit to it because there's a, you know, it's like a general public statement, right? To bring awareness. But you know, real change is going to come when you sit down and study the Bible with people. When you sit down and you have, you're in a Bible study and you go, well, this is what it means to me personally, you know? And when you find that out and you're given the power to change, it revolutionizes your whole life. It changes the way you think, and your life is set on a completely different trajectory. But that can only come when you're sitting down personally with someone. You know, that same thing happens in our spiritual growth. You know, some of us, you know, whether it be you're married or single, some of us are stuck. We kind of have maybe plateaued out spiritually, right? You know, one of the reasons why? Because you're trying to do things on your own. You know, and the truth is we all got blind spots, don't we? We don't discern our errors properly, as the scripture says. We need somebody in our lives. We need another married couple in our lives to help us, to talk to us. You know, just a couple days ago, Robin and I met with Sheridan and Debbie Wright. They're the couple who God has put in our lives to help us. And we had a great time with them over lunch. And we had to talk about, you know, I mean, some things that we are working on in our communication dynamic. You know, this year will be 24 years of marriage. I've been married to this beautiful woman for 24 years. And yet, even in spite of 24 years, I'm still trying to learn about how to communicate. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to learn, trying to figure these things out, you know. And sometimes Robin is telling me things, you know, honey, you need to X, Y, Z. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right, okay. But, you know, I need to hear it from other people. You know, and I, in my D time, I took notes. I actually took notes. Let me share with you a note. Here we go. I'm not asking you to do anything that I myself don't do. All right, here we go. All right. Where is that note? Aha, here it is. Okay, one of the things that Debbie and Sheridan told us were, in terms of communication, I should say this, honey, I am feeling this way. Are those valid feelings? I thought, man, hot diggity dog, that is a really... Wow, that is really cool. You know, because in a relationship, you can feel stuff. And then, you know, my tendency is to be like, well, you're hurting me, and so I'm going to come back at you. I know very few people can relate to doing anything like that. But I'm just sharing where I'm at, you know? And so what, we had a little bump, you know, and I'm feeling this. Are those valid feelings? And I thought, wow, I need to write this down. And you know, addressing the issue without accusing. What do you think about that? Addressing whatever the issue is without accusing the other person. You know, I've been a Christian 30 years. And here I am. I'm still trying to learn. I still want the Spirit to work in my life, and the first place the Spirit is going to be evident is in my marriage. I'm just sharing about me. Okay? I'm not any special dude. I'm just sharing about me and what I need. Couples, married couples, if you want to grow, the first place you got to ask yourself is, who's discipling us? Who's discipling us? Who do we sit with across the table, eyeball to eyeball, to get help from? If there is nobody like that in your life, guess what? Today, this year, is a year of change and transformation, because the Spirit uses other people to help us get to a better place. Hello? The Spirit used John to help the nation of Israel get to a better place. That's how the Spirit works. And what I just said applies to singles and campus students and teens. This human interaction is essential to be led by the Spirit. Do you want to be led by the Spirit? The very same Spirit that worked through John the Baptist, I say to you, is alive and well. And He wants to bring you to a greater awareness of our sins, a greater awareness of how we can change and grow. He wants to bring us to an awareness so we can have peace with God. And that's what I'm excited about. I want the Spirit to have greater control over my mind, over my emotions, and over my actions. And I'm excited about the Spirit taking me to even greater horizons, to even a greater place. And I urge you to join us in this transformative journey to be led by the Spirit. Amen.